Happy New Year to all of you here today.
Long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, but it's still the Happy New Year. Well, people who live without hope can become suicidal. So it was with an Italian prisoner of war being held on a military base here in the United States during World War II. The man had become despondent after learning that his wife had died in Italy. The camp commander, knowing that the man had been a stonemason, asked him if he could design a chapel for the base. The POW accepted the assignment and even supervised its construction. Today, a unique chapel stands at Letterkenny Army Depot in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. You see, the formerly despondent prisoner found renewed hope by using his God-given talents to bless others. So this brings me to the main idea, or the heart of the message God has given to me from his word to deliver to you today. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's sure and steadfast truth in order to transform or to change those of us who are believers more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the builder and the bridegroom of the church, and to convict those who are not believers of their sin of unbelief, graciously and gently leading them to repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of sinners. So here in a nutshell is the message God has given to me from his word to deliver to you. And please pay utmost attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Listen, because it's a message of hope for you and me. God renews hope for the believer who has come to the point of quitting on life in order to make him or her a blessing to others. Folks and friends, faithful believers or faithful followers of Christ among us, and fellow believers in Jesus Christ, in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to give us a great and graphic depiction of a great prophet of God who had come to the point of quitting on life and checking out. Believe it or not, this great prophet of God had become despondent, downcast, discouraged, depressed, dejected, and desired with all his heart to die. to check out from this life. So please, we are going to look at this prophet today. But the amazing thing is that God was very gracious and gentle with his prophet as he personally and patiently worked with him to renew his hope in order to be a blessing to others. And I believe with all my heart today that God is willing and more than able to renew your hope in him. And I assure you today that his work in you and your work on earth are not over. So this is a very hopeful message for those who are at a point of quitting on life, especially after Christmas and New Year celebrations, where many people feel empty and hopeless and even are ready to commit suicide. I think that even the loss of the Broncos has filled a lot of people with emptiness because they were expecting an exciting year of championship. So you can be one of those people. Now please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 18. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage for us from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 18, from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says, "The Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about the one who escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that have not that has not kissed him." This is the word of the Lord to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing on the recital of his word. Well, believe it or not, the great prophet Elijah, at a crucial time in his life, was discouraged, downcast, down on himself, and despaired of life. And in his disturbed state of mind, he chose death, not life. Before the Bible brought us to the point where Elijah and his hope was renewed, where God renewed Elijah's hope and showed him how he is going to use him to be a blessing to others, four major things happened in Elijah's life. And I would like to share them briefly with us because they will enhance our understanding of the message of hope God is about to speak to those who have ears to hear and hearts to receive it and respond to it. So here are the four things that happened before God renewed the hope of Elijah. First is the problem Elijah faced in verse 1 to 3 of chapter 19. I'm not going to read because we don't have much time. Elijah, whose name means Yahweh is my God, was a constant thorn in Jezebel's side because he was always predicting doom and gloom for this Jezebel. Not only that, Elijah had just defeated the prophets of Jezebel, the evil queen and wife of Ahab, king of Israel. Since Jezebel, who by the way is the most wicked woman in the Bible, could not control Elijah's actions, she vowed to kill him. You see, as long as Elijah was around, she could not carry out all the evil she wanted. In fact, she took an oath to take off Elijah's head. And since Jezebel had a track record of being ruthless and revengeful, vicious and vindictive, Elijah's problem was not a small one. So please, as you listen to this message, I want you to think of the problem you are facing right now in your life. Well, second is the petition of Elijah in verse 4 of chapter 19. I like to call Elijah the prophet of fire. Why? Because all the major events in his life involved fire. You can read and see all the fire events in Elijah's life. But the prophet of fire made a petition that is quite surprising to say the least. Depressed, downcast, defeated, and emotionally drained and depleted, he requested the Lord, "It is enough! Now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." You see, because Elijah had not seen the expected fruits of his zeal for the Lord on Mount Carmel, where he defeated the prophets of Jezebel, he thought all was lost. He felt like he couldn't go on any further in life. He concluded that his work was fruitless, and consequently, life was not worth living. In other words, he wished to be released from this life by death. But please understand this, that Elijah was not committing suicide. He knew that God is the author of life. So he only asked God, the Lord, the giver of life, to take his life because he viewed his situation as hopeless. And perhaps today you are viewing your situation as hopeless. And perhaps you are wanting to take your life. But Elijah didn't want to take his own life. He said, "God, you take my life." Well, third is the provision of God for Elijah in verse 5 to 8. I tell you, friends, God is wise and loving and doesn't give his believing children everything they ask for. You see, Elijah petitioned God to take his life, but God provided food and drink for Elijah in the midst of his distress and discouragement. Actually, it's very, very interesting to notice God's provision for Elijah's severe depression. Here was Elijah, severely depressed, and what did God provide for him? He provided rest for Elijah. Elijah needed rest, and God knew that, so he put him to sleep. Elijah slept like a baby, and tonight some of you will be sleeping like a baby here. Elijah also needed good food. So God sent what? An angel to bring him food. And he provided for him earlier in his life at the brook of Kereth and Zarephath. Elijah can tell you the provision of God even at a time when he felt depressed, discouraged, dejected. God provided for him. Then God provided more rest, more food, and more drink for Elijah. You see, when Elijah first fled for his life, he traveled 120 miles from Jezreel, which was north of Israel, to Beersheba. That distance is 120 miles. And after being provided for by God, Elijah traveled another 200 to 250 miles to Horeb, the mountain of God, or Mount Sinai, where God first spoke the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. Obviously, God gave Elijah supernatural strength to walk 40 days and 40 nights for a distance of 250 miles. Well, the interesting thing to note here is that only three people in the Bible we know fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moses before Elijah. Actually, Moses did it twice. And Jesus, the anointed one, after Elijah. And I find this interesting. Guess what? Centuries later, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, the anointed one, will meet on the Mount of Transfiguration. These three in the Bible who fasted 40 days and 40 nights, had a meeting on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory, where Jesus was transfigured and his face was shining like the sun. Now the question is, why doesn't God take Elijah's life? Well, it's simply because God has something special in store for Elijah. Something that's far, far better than Elijah could ever dream of. Well, perhaps today you are in despair. And in your despair and dejection and depression, you've also asked God to take your life. Or even you are contemplating suicide. Well, God's response to you today is similar to that of Elijah. Why? He's going to give you rest tonight. He's going to give you food here tonight. And he's going to give you drink. So that is the first step of dealing with your hopelessness. God has brought you here. He's brought you here. He'll provide food for you. He'll provide drink for you. And he'll provide rest for you. Well, fourth is Elijah's personal encounter with God. We see that in verse 9 to 14. On Horeb, the mountain on which the law had been given to Moses, Elijah had a personal encounter with God. You see, on Mount Carmel, where Elijah soundly defeated the prophets of Jezebel and slew them, the emphasis had been on God's spectacular ways, particularly his use of fire from heaven. Fire came down from heaven, consumed all that sacrifice that Elijah made. But here on Mount Horeb, the Bible tells us there was a storm, there was a tempest, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in any of them. But until a still small voice came, and then the Lord appeared. So here on Mount Horeb, the emphasis is on God's quiet ways. The great lesson Elijah learned in his personal encounter with Yahweh that day is that God doesn't reveal himself only in powerful, miraculous ways. God moves in a quiet way as well, in a still small voice. So please listen carefully now. God has ways of working other than the supernatural, though he's always free to work in supernatural ways. So if you are here today, you are one of those people who is looking for, who only look for God to work in supernatural, powerful, miraculous ways, you may end up missing him, because he's often found gently whispering to the humble heart that is willing to listen to him. Well, having seen the problem of Elijah, having stated the petition of Elijah, and having shown the provision of God for Elijah, and having shared with us the personal encounter Elijah had with Yahweh, the Bible now brings us to the climax of the marvelous story of God's gracious and gentle work of renewing the hope of his believing child in order to make him a blessing to others. So please pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is going to share with us in the next few minutes. Now the Holy Spirit reveals the plan of God for Elijah in verses 15 to 16. You see, Elijah thought God was finished with him. He thought, since Jezebel was seeking for his life, that means God had no other plans for him. But here God is going to tell Elijah that his work is not over. In fact, God is going to use him to bless three different people. And so the Bible tells us, God speaks to Elijah saying, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Now God gave Elijah a threefold commission. He instructed Elijah to anoint Hazael, which means God sees, king of Syria. Jehu, which means he is Yahweh, king of Israel. And Elisha, which means God is salvation, as his successor. Actually, if you read the story in 1 Kings and later in 2 Kings, Elijah commissioned only the last of these three men directly. That is Elisha. The first two parts of Elijah's threefold commission were carried out directly or indirectly through Elisha. You see, Elisha, not Elijah, was the one involved in Hazael's becoming the king of Syria. And one of the sons of the prophets, at the instruction of Elisha, anointed Jehu as king of Israel. So the question is, what did God mean by saying to Elijah that Elijah will anoint Hazael as king of Syria and Jehu as king of Israel? Well, you see, Elijah passed on his authority as a prophet to Elisha. And in that sense, he anointed Hazael and Jehu. But the point God doesn't want you to miss is this. God is making it clear to Elijah, I know you've asked me to take your life, but I want to tell you today, I have plans for your life. And I have more work for you to do. I have people I want you to touch for the cause of my kingdom. Will you embrace my plans for your life, Elijah? Will you commit yourself to do the work I'm putting on your plate right now? Well, if you read the Bible, the rest of Elijah's life shows that he totally embraced God's plans and trustingly committed himself to doing the work God put in his place. So, as I apply this to you, let me ask you, may I say to those of you who are at a point or close to the point of quitting on life, the fact that God has brought you here today into this chapel at this hour means he has plans for your life. If you read Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, after the people of Israel sinned and committed horrible acts against God, God told them through the prophet Jeremiah, that I have plans for you. Plans for your welfare. To give you what? A future and a hope. So, as you are here, God has plans for you. Plans for your future and to give you a hope. He has work to do in you and work for you to do. But the question is, are you open to the plans Jesus has for you? Will you humbly and honestly embrace what Jesus wants you to do today? Well, I tell you, friends, God left no stone unturned in renewing the hope of Elijah in order to make him a blessing to others. But you say, how do you know that? Well, I know that because of the promise of God to Elijah in verse 17. You see, my friend, God gave Elijah a promise that not only renewed his hope in the Lord, but also revived his zeal for the work the Lord had put on his plate. And so, speaking with great authority of the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe, God made this promise to Elijah in verse 17. When he says, it shall come about the one who escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Now someone says, why do you call a verse that speaks about putting people to death with a sword a promise of God to Elijah that revived his zeal for the work of the Lord? Well, I'm glad you've asked. Please listen. This verse reveals God's sovereign power over people and nations. You see, through these three men, that is Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha, God will destroy the worship of Baal in Israel. for which Elijah had passionately labored. God will use Hazael to punish Israel for their idolatry. Jehu will execute God's judgment on the house of Ahab and Jezebel that set up and maintain idolatry in Israel, and Elisha will remain a witness against the apostasy of Israel. In fact, by the time the last of these men died, the worship of Baal, or Baal, had been officially barred from Israel. This is why I tell you, friends, that this promise not only renewed Elijah's hope in God, but also revived his zeal for the work of the Lord. Now, someone says, I'm not an Elijah. I'm simply a nobody. I'm jobless. I'm homeless. I'm hopeless, helpless, fearful of what the future will bring for me, struggling with emptiness in my soul, struggling with alcohol abuse, drug addiction, sexual addiction, financial and family problems, even with struggling with suicidal thoughts, depressed and discouraged in life. Can God renew my hope and make me a blessing to others? You know, and I know, that the answer to that question is a resounding yes. Please listen. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ today, but have some or all of these struggles, here's what God wants you to do today for Him to renew your hope and to make you a blessing to others. First, you thank Jesus today for taking care of your physical needs, as He's doing today. He'll provide you food, He'll provide you drink, shelter, and rest. Tune your heart to listen to Jesus' voice through the Bible, and trust Jesus today to tell you what He will have you do to bless others. And the last and the most important step is this. You take the step of faith today by coming forward and casting all your cares at the foot of the cross to Jesus, and watch Him go to work on your behalf. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I say to you, your hope in life will be shattered again and again. Why? Because your hope is not built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. And so you need to tell Jesus today that you are a sinner. You need to tell Jesus today that you are living in a hopeless and a helpless situation. And you must trust Jesus today with childlike faith that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, and that He rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And the Bible says the moment you trusted Jesus, you will be saved and given new life. So this is the message of hope to you. And God wants to renew your hope today. And therefore, I want you to trust God to do that for you. And if He doesn't do it for you, then we know that we can put the blame on Him. But I tell you, friends, God will not fail you if you sincerely and honestly step up to the plate and ask Him to renew your hope today. So anyone who is a believer and you have circumstances that are weighing you down, that are making you feel like you are empty, depressed, you want to give up on life, please come forward and bring your cares at the foot of the cross here, and we will pray for you. These brothers and sisters are here to do that for you. But if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, this is where you come, and I'll pray with you. So the ball is in your court. So step up to the plate.